Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Often in science, people don't get credit for the work they do, which eventually leads to a breakthrough. Wisconsin native Henrietta Swan Leavitt actually made a significant breakthrough a century ago, and in so doing, fundamentally changed how we understand the size of the universe.
But it's only comparatively recently that her contributions are being recognized outside of the astronomy world. Her work is the subject of our monthly conversation with astronomy contributor Jean Creighton, who is with us in the studio now. Hello, Jean.
Hello, Bonnie.
We're going to talk about somebody today that has been getting a little bit of press as of late, but I think a lot of us don't know anything about her and why she's so important to the field of astronomy, and that is Henrietta Swan Leavitt. What did she do?
She was one of the, quote, computers. These were people who worked in Harvard College in the observatory. This would be in the 1900s, 1913, 14, even into the 20s. Women were allowed to do some of the grunt work, but they were not allowed to look through a telescope, which
right.
is an interesting story in and of itself. So these women were assigned to look at the photographic plates that they took and catalog every single star on one of these plates. This meant that they cataloged hundreds of thousands of stars. So they wanted to know their exact position and their brightness, and they measure that by magnitude. So they basically bin all stars. This is a crude measurement that I'm going to describe, but they could do better than what I'm going to describe. But we could take all visible stars and put them in six bins, the brightest star being in the first bin, the barely visible with the naked eye in the sixth. Now, if you have a telescope, you can make more bins and you can extend them on either side of that. But they would look for the brightness of each star, and they would also figure out, if they could, their spectral class, which gives you some idea of how hot they are.
Okay.
Are you still with me?
Yes. And okay. So she and a bunch of other women are sitting, I'm sure, in a room somewhere very far from the telescope looking at these plates.
That's right. And some of these people were scholars in their own right. I mean, these were people who had advanced degrees or the equivalent of, even if they didn't have a PhD in hand, they certainly had done all the coursework, but they didn't get, of course, the degree at that point. So Henrietta looked at these plates for many, many, many months, and she started seeing a pattern. She started seeing that a particular group of what we call variable stars, so these are stars that vary in brightness by a factor of two or more. So if you look at them over a period of time of a few days up to many, let's say hundreds of days, you will notice, especially if you're paying attention as they were, that their brightness changes visibly.
Okay, and so we're seeing it almost like dim and get brighter and dim and get brighter over time.
That's right.
Okay.
And she noticed that, and she had a hunch that there's a pattern here somewhere. And if she could figure out that pattern, this would be a very important piece in determining the size of the universe. Because at that time, we really had no idea whether our galaxy is it or whether our galaxy is just one of many galaxies. So as you can appreciate, that makes a huge difference on how big the universe was. But at that time, we just had no handle on it. We just had no way. And it was more of a philosophical preference. So a lot of the prominent people at the time thought that surely our Milky Way is it. This is it. So she started looking and looking for patterns, and eventually she came to the conclusion that the period with which the star changes brightness is somehow correlated to the intrinsic, the actual brightness of the star. Now, this is important because although by just looking at a star, you can't tell how bright it really is, right? A star can look bright either because it's really bright or because it's just close to us. Like Sirius, for example, is the brightest star that we see. It's not that bright, actually. If we put other stars at the same distance, it would look pretty measly. But Sirius is close. That's why it looks bright.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're talking about not only brightness, but distance.
So, well, she understood in absolute measure that the period of a star and its real brightness are correlated. That doesn't help me because I don't know what their real brightness is, right? I know their apparent brightness. So she determined that there is a way then, if I can measure the period of the star, which is easy, right? Because I look at a beautiful curve and it makes a nice curve for me and I see, ah, the period is, let's say, 4 days. Then I can go to her graph and say, aha, a 4-day period corresponds to this brightness. Okay, let's say the brightness 10 times the brightness of the sun. These stars are, after all, very bright. Okay, I keep that information. And then I say, well, how bright does it look? Ah, I make that measurement. And if I compare how bright the star looks and how bright the star intrinsically really is, oh, then I can determine how far it is.
Yeah, and my brain sort of swims just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try approaching this from a different point of view. Let's pretend that I have two light bulbs, 100 watts, and of course, if I put them at the same distance, they will look exactly the same in brightness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's say that I double the one bulb from you, its distance, and I put it twice as far. Now, the far bulb is going to look a quarter bright to you.
Because it's moved away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not a linear, so it's not like I double the distance, I half the brightness. It's actually, you quarter it. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So that means that if somehow I knew that two stars truly are the same brightness, like the 100-watt bulbs, then any difference in brightness that I perceive is because of their difference in distance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So that means that if I see two Cepheid variables that have the same period and one of them looks dim and the other one looks bright, I can do some very simple algebra to determine that the dim one is X times farther than the bright one.
And so she came up with this, and this is something that had not been done, this calculation.
That is correct. This correlation had not been realized. And because measuring periods of brightness is very, very easy, she did this over thousands of Cepheid variables. So she got such a great – I mean, she had the numbers to back up this idea that there's a straight line that correlates the actual brightness of a star with its period, which means that for every star in the sky that is a Cepheid variable, and there are many, you can say, aha, I know how bright it's supposed to be. I see how bright it seems. I can therefore determine its distance. Now, what's great about Cepheid variables is because they're so bright, I can see them in other galaxies. So we could determine, so by the 20s, people got a hint that, oh, there's a Cepheid in the Magellanic Clouds. That means it's outside our galaxy.
And so our notion of the universe as being much bigger.
Much bigger.
Was proven.
Yes. Yes.
So I have to ask, what happened to Henrietta with this? Was she given credit for the discovery at the time?
Well, sadly, she died of ovarian cancer fairly young. But there was some discussion just after her death, just around that time, before they actually knew that, I think before somebody had realized that she had passed away, there was some discussion that she should be given a Nobel Prize. But they don't give Nobel Prizes after. Yes.
Yeah.
But that gives you the idea of how fundamentally important this was. And I guess she had correspondence with people all over the world who were trying to address that very problem. I think it's elegant that the Hubble Space Telescope was used to measure Cepheid variable brightnesses in other galaxies. And the lead in that project was Wendy Friedman. And they managed to get even tighter that idea of how big the universe is. So we were able to measure the Hubble constant, that is the rate with which the universe expands, and therefore you can deduce how old the universe is and the size of it, based on Cepheid variable correlations.
Thanks to Henrietta Swan Leavitt.
That's right.
And is there any kind of posthumous honor that could be given her in the scientific community? I know Nobels can't happen, but do they do any kind of...
I am not aware if she's been specifically given any awards. It could be that she has, and I don't know. But she is mentioned triumphantly in the vast majority of astronomy textbooks. So the hundreds of thousands of people who are taking, you know, Astronomy for Poets courses do see the contribution that she and the other computers made to not only understand more about the properties of stars, but also to measure the universe.
Do you think she ever got to look through a telescope before she died?
I like to think that she did.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, I sure hope. I hope that that was one of the ways that she was rewarded for the obviously very significant contribution she made.
Well, Jean, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Astronomy contributor Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee.